So anyway, this is the Elections Committee of the PNB for June 21st, and we're convening at 5:38. So, Susan, can you take the roll?
5:38 Pacific time, right?
Yes, Pacific time.
Right. Right, right, right. Hold on just a second. Call to order. Roll call. Okie dokie. Roll call. Teresa Allen. Violetta Diamond.
Here.
Jack DePalma. I call him.
Present.
Okie dokie.
Violetta's here.
Oh, Violetta, thank you. Okay. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman. Azalea Jones. Lily Kimura. I thought I saw Lily.
Here.
Great.
Here.
Great. Sean Kelly. Do you think they've been successful in relaying that issue?
I do not. We do know.
Oh, did you got to mute yourself?
And Miss. Yeah, thank you.
You also missed Eric.
Vanessa's coming in now.
I'm sorry. Eric Jacobson?
Here.
Is there? Great. Hey, did you say Vanessa was coming in?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm here now. Thank you.
Okay. Good. Let's get that. Myla Reason?
Yes, I am here.
Sean Rhodes, he was early.
I'm here.
Okay. Minerva Sanders? See her. Aki, saw you.
Yeah, I'm here.
Carol Wolfley?
Here.
Susan Young, here. So the people I did not see is here are Teresa Allen, Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman, Azalea Jones, Sean Kelly McPherson, Sean, yeah, and Minerva Sanders. Sean has requested an.
Oh, sorry, Susan. Sorry? I just wanted to say that I spoke with Eleanor Elizabeth, I think yesterday, and she said she has another meeting and she is going to try to make it to this one, but she might be late.
Okay.
Okay. Sean has requested an excused absence.
Okay.
Is there any objection?
And you mean Sean Mack, because we have two Seans.
Yeah, thank you. Sean Kelly McPherson. So I guess there's no objection. Great, I'll put that down.
Okay. Very good. Now, last time we had a problem with people talking a little bit too long, so we're going to have a timekeeper this time. And I think Kel volunteered to be the people timekeeper, and I can be the timekeeper for the items, because it's been a slow-moving item.
And
so those will be the timekeepers.
Eleanor Elizabeth just joined us.
Okay, great. So next item is agenda approval. Get any motion for that?
Don't move.
And may I, sorry for interrupting again, but someone else has joined us with a phone number that ends in 359.
Before we go further, I'm sorry I'm a little late, but the agenda, I wanted to make sure that motion was put on back on the agenda that Susan thought we could leave out.
Okay. We're not on that right now, are we?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
Can we establish the identity of the person calling with phone ending in 359?
It's Teresa.
Oh, okay.
Oh, good. Hey. Thank you.
Okay. So is there any second for the agenda approval?
I second, Carol.
Any objections?
Okay. I'm fine so if it has the motion in it.
Yes, it has the motion. Then, Susan, you have minutes?
Yeah, I have distributed the minutes, I think, a couple of times. So is there, I offer a motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
By whom?
Carol.
Any objections? I think that most of the meeting was with the Stephanie last time, so all right. And then the first item is talking about the term working group that the Judy, the chair of the PNB, wanted to have a working group, so there was motion on the PNB, and she assigned five people. And today, I don't know, I sent an email expressing desire to have a working group within the elections committee. So, I don't know, you want to say something about that?
What are you asking me?
You sent an email saying something about, you know, working group for effect of the election delay. I think you're the one who sent the email.
Go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, I forwarded the email to everybody about the working group. I mean, as secretary, I forwarded that. Are we talking about the working group named by the national board to determine the terms?
Right, exactly. I just wanted to announce that was, you know, sent out, and then Susan forwarded out the name of the five people in the working group to the elections committee. So it was just sort of an announcement.
I and others had some questions about that.
Okay.
Go ahead. We were wondering why the elections committee wasn't used as a pool for the task force.
Well, that's a good question. I think probably Judy felt the urgency to do something within the PNB. And then within the PNB, we passed a motion to create a working group. So that's how that transpired.
But why weren't the people who are already in the elections committee tapped first for that task force?
That I cannot answer that. I don't know.
Also, the wording of what Susan sent out seemed to say that she was asked to form the task force.
Yeah. No, I don't think so. We were waiting for Judy to do it.
If there was any wording to that effect, it was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, could I ask a question?
Sure, go ahead.
Isn't everybody here a member of an LSB?
Yes.
Therefore, isn't it a conflict of interest for us to be on an oversight of our committee's work? Don't we need non-electable or non-LSB elected or non-LSB people to, or at least people that are already not with a vested interest in putting it one way or the other? I mean, I'm just throwing that out because I knew that we recommended that there'd be some type of additional oversight to what we're doing and additional oversight to what's being done. But I think every time we try to put another layer of responsibility, we run the risk of the original problem, which is that we are all, I'll shut up. And I'm just throwing that out to the group. I don't know the answer to the question. And I saw this come by and I think we need some type of.
What do you say? We need some kind of what?
Well, again, it's not really oversight. It's facilitating the oversight of whatever is being done on the national level and on the local level for the election to run fair, smooth, honest, clear, straightforward, direct, without too much back and forth and too much politicking and too much money and too much all these other things that have been raised repeatedly. Thank you. Thank you, Akai.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, answer that by saying that, you know, this issue that came up is, it's not really related to the election per se. Election is being won, you know, I think fairly properly right now. This is the effect they might have on the terms, you know, going forward. So it's more like a vitals issue. So I think that's the reason why, you know, it was taken up by the PNB. Anyway, I think, I don't know if that satisfies anybody, but that is my understanding.
Point of order.
Sure, Kel.
So we had 2 minutes on this item, I believe. And so I would like us to go onto the NES report. And it's my understanding that the length of this meeting is 90 minutes and that we will end at 90 minutes. So let's try and move on if we can.
Okay.
Point of personal privilege, I guess that's what it would be. This is Myla. I'll be quick.
Okay,
I'd like to remind everyone that this is an audio stream that will be available on KPFTX. If people would just be mindful of that and say who they are prior to when they speak so that people listening to the recording afterwards may know who the speakers are. Thank you.
Now, do we have the Renee on board?
Okay, so let me speak to that, Mr. Chair.
Sure.
Okay, a couple of things. One, Teresa is trying to get back in. I guess she's in. Renee said she can be available for 45 minutes.
Okay.
So rather than her sitting through the preliminary stuff, I said I would text her when we're ready. And so I just texted her. She should be coming on.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
This is Teresa. May I make a point of personal privilege?
Sure, go ahead, Teresa.
Okay. I'm in a restaurant, and I can listen in, and then I'm going to put myself on mute. But I would like to say about this task force, I don't remember being on the PNB and selecting this task force. I was not aware that this election committee needed to be investigated. I am somewhat confused as to why, yes, we would have someone that's not on the election committee like Marianne Martinez, and I love this woman, and it's great, but we are a pool of resources that can work on election things, and I don't understand why we would go outside for any kind of work with elections, because we have people here that are willing to do the work, so that's just my thought.
Okay, Teresa, thank you.
Carol, point of order.
Sure, go ahead, Carol.
I just wanted to clarify that speaker times are 2 minutes. Is that what we agreed on?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Anybody want to entertain us a little more?
So we should have Renee on in a moment.
Okay. Well, she's a singer too, so.
I wonder, in the interim of time, if Stephanie had anything to share with us just about the lists and how anything is going in relation to the lists.
I know that the general managers have been tasked to, and the membership directors have been tasked to provide those lists to Renee. So she would have more information as to where they stand. I know that there was an email, I think, that went through something that I saw recently that, you know, some of the stations have sent them to her, and she's anticipating having all of them by the end of the month. But again, she would have better details on that than I, since she's been working directly with them.
Thank you. And I had a follow-up question on that. Is it your understanding, Stephanie, that there are some of those lists that don't have email addresses? And I just, Renee just entered, so I'm going to hold that question. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, so Renee, you signed on, right?
Hi.
There's our name.
Hello.
Hey,
right.
Welcome.
So, I heard that you have...
Hi, Ashley.
Yeah, hi, Renee. Good to see you again.
Good to see you, yeah.
You said that you have 45 minutes for us?
An hour.
Okay. All have, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically, what we have is I just have you as the initial NES report, and then we'll have another Q&A.
Okay.
So we'll just go that way.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm sorry if I might... My phone, I don't have a stand for it, so it's just being held up by, I'm using my phone for that. Should I jump right in?
Yes, please.
Okay, sure. So basically what we have in terms of so far the nominations phase, the number of candidates we have so far here is about eight at KPFA for listeners. Five for staff, KPFK, no staff yet. We have six listeners. KPFT, we have just two listeners and one staff. WBAI, only one listener. WPFW, three listeners. And all of these people have been verified as eligible in terms of their membership. And in terms of nominators, we have plenty of nominators at KPFA. Basically enough nominators only at KPFA for almost both categories where we are a little short on staff nominations here. KPFK, only five nominators have signed up so far. And then we literally only have one at KPFT, two at WBAI, and one at PFW. So really the only station that has close to enough will be KPFA followed by KPFK. So basically that's the update in terms of numbers of candidates and nominators. The system with getting people verified is working well. I basically have a shared spreadsheet with all of the departments, and I just highlight what needs to be verified and assign it to an individual person at a station, and then daily or even sometimes twice daily they'll verify it for me. So that process is working well. Other than that, what else is there to report on? We haven't had any campaign violations that have been reported, so that's good. And we sent out our first newsletter with a couple of election events coming up on Friday and Saturday, community organized. And I think everybody should have gotten that on this call. If you didn't, let me know. It means that you're not part of the constant contact list. And just make sure you email me, though, nes@pacifica.org.
What is it we're supposed
and
to
what else do I have? The email campaign. There are various. I've sent out already quite a few email campaigns. It might be that if anybody on this call maybe unsubscribed from the list for some reason, you're going to have to resubscribe to our Pacifica list, because that's the official list right now for the for all these communications. We don't have updated lists yet, so we're using the lists that we have from prior years, which has a lot of overlap obviously with the current list, but it's going out to much broader and probably also doesn't include a bunch of people that will be provided once I get the lists in the beginning of July. And in terms of the carts, that's one that's on my list to do tonight is to, I'm creating right now 30-second format carts so they can be rotated more often in the last 10 days. And obviously I am expecting that we're going to have to extend. So then I would send out all the carts. But I'm not going to extend, as I said, unless we have to, and I will only announce that on the 30th. So
you know, there's still hope that we don't have to extend, but as you know, I've already stated that if any station has to extend, we extend for everybody. And that's not the record date. That's only the candidate, the nomination phase, basically. The record date will stay the same. I think that's it, for me for now. I missed something.
Okay. So basically there's plenty of time for questions. So anybody who wants to ask a question can be on the stack. If we start off with Myra.
I think that Elizabeth Eleanor had her hand up before me.
Okay. Go ahead, Eleanor.
Could you please put in the chat those numbers that you read off so quickly about how many listeners and how many nominees?
Well, it's actually on the website. So if you go to the website and you visit it, I'll send the link to see it. Because there's no point in me typing it out because it literally changes every day.
Mm-hmm.
So you should just, if you really are interested in following the progress, you can just link to the website and see it updated in real time.
Can Renee review?
What about us?
I'm going to send that link right now, to I think to Susan. Maybe Susan can paste it into the chat of this. I'm just going to put the, here it is.
Do me a favor and send it to Myla.
No, me, not me.
Okay, so let me just tell you, I don't know how to paste into chat.
Okay.
Send it to me and I'll do it.
I think I can do it. Okay. I can send it. I'll send it. Okay. Let's see. I'll send it. Okay. Let me see. Yeah. I'll send it to you, Eleanor, right? You wanted the chat. You wanted it?
Yes.
Okay. There we go. Okay. So it should be coming your way. And okay. Yeah.
Okay, Myra, go ahead.
Well, I have a follow-up on the lists, and it's kind of a multi-part question here. You know, since for many, many months, we have been hearing from our executive director that she has directed station managers and membership coordinators to update the lists. And And then at the beginning of this call, prior to you coming on, Renee, and thank you for being here, she said that we would need to get an update from you. So, and then you said that you would be receiving updates of the list at the beginning of July. And I have a concern, and you also said that there were names that this is basically the constant comment list of about 80,000 people approximately is a compilation of prior
50.
Say that again, 50?
57,000.
Okay. And that's a compilation of older lists, which may not include, current members. And is that correct? That because it hasn't yet been brought up to date at all stations, is that correct?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that.
But anyway, yeah. I'm sorry. I don't mean to interrupt, but I just want some clarity here. And I have a concern that people who may have become members in the past several months, and may not yet have been included on the list that's being used to do these mass emails, have not had the opportunity to see all of the communication regarding timelines, et cetera. And that some of those people may have, for example, if they had gotten the communication, might have gotten friends to become members prior to the record date. And it just seems to me that that the record date, I know that you have stated quite adamantly that you are absolutely opposed to extending the record date, even though some of us have argued that this is a great opportunity to gain membership and dollars for our network, to encourage people to sign up to become voting members. So at any rate, I think I'm rambling here. I just wonder whether it's prudent to hold firm on that record date, given the fact that some people who, you know, may have joined in the past have not even gotten the communication that was sent out about the elections, the many communications. So I hope that made some sense.
I understand what you're saying, but first of all, let me explain to you why I don't have the lists yet. It's because they give me the lists after, essentially, you know, we have the final lists. It's a process for them to export everything. It takes time. And, you know, it's at each station, it's a different process. So, and they have to make sure everything. And when it to, and there are two different types of lists. There's the staff list and the listener list. The staff list, when it comes to the unpaid staff list, is also very hard to put together for most stations, but it is dependent on the three prior months. So, for unpaid staff, right? So we're not going to know until the end who actually meets criteria, right? And the same thing goes for members. So in the past, they've given me preliminary lists. But we didn't do that this time because of the timeline mostly. And, that was just, you know, it's essentially, and more than likely, I would say we have probably a more than, you know, there's a huge overlap with what I already have and what is completely up to date. Now I will know what the overlap is once I have the lists, right? So essentially what you're discussing is something that we don't really know. We don't have, you know, information. And I would say that that's the point of having the on-air promotion, is so that, you know, people hear that there's an election going on, and, you know, and those cards have been on the air since June 1st. So, you know, that's, you know, it's just, the lists have always been an issue. And I'm going to repeat, I don't think that my job should entail trying to raise money by trying to monetize the election. I just don't think that I should be making decisions that shouldn't enter into my decision making. I know that Pacifica needs money, obviously, but I think it's ever really been that big of an incentive for people to join. But that's my opinion, obviously, but it's not going to enter into my decision making. And I think that if we're to follow that down that path, you could end up extending and keeping on extending, and then the election gets more expensive and you negate all of the additional funds. So, what else?
Can we go on to the next question?
Yeah. Yes, Susan, go ahead, Susan.
Yeah, okay, a couple of things. One, Renee, first of all, welcome, Renee and Craig. We're so glad you're on board. We know that you've got a very tough job, and we wish to be supporting you. That's number one. Number two, I think that the website is already pretty darn good, and I know, Renee, you knew a lot about it in the first place, could get it done quickly. There are occasional things that aren't right. So, like, it's stations, five station areas, you know, that sort of thing, where there may be corrections in the language or where there are inconsistencies. Do you want us to bring those to your attention?
Yes. And, and the most useful thing is not to just say something's wrong and say this is
wrong. But to suggest
URL, because then I can't fix it. You know,
exactly. So I'm going to be sending those recommending a correction.
Okay,
which you can
sure.
say, no, that won't work. Okay. And I would suggest that maybe people on the committee, when they see these things, we can collect them and send them to you one at a time from the committee. So you aren't getting it from everybody. I do have one important issue, and it goes to the whole thing about schedule, around which there's a lot of mishmash. The schedule currently calls for record date June 30th, then candidate certification July 1 to July 8th, and then the voting campaign phase only begins August 15th. So there's a gap between July 8th and August 15th where it doesn't say on this calendar what needs to be happening. What I would urge you to do is to take a look at this to see if there is give in the schedule to allocate more time to, well, but what are you doing between July 8th and August 15th?
Getting the lists together and providing them to the ballot company, because right, our lists, we don't have them yet. And I've done this before. I get like, just from WBAI, I usually get 5 or 6 different files. That's just WBAI. And the thing is, it's, and they're separate things. There's all this stepwise process. And this is actually where the election committee I really need help with is calling up members for whom the emails have bounced, for whom we don't have, or maybe there's questions about like what station there may be members at 2 stations. And we have to make sure that they're voting at the right station. There's so much that goes into the cleaning, and the ballot house needs the lists in order for them to process them on time. They need them actually by July 29th. So those 2 weeks that look like we have 2 weeks in August, those are not 2 weeks. That is basically time for us to run candidate campaigns, for example, to help candidates, you know, in terms of maybe that's when we have the on-air forums, either right before the ballots or right the first week of the ballots. That's really the campaign materials production time that we have. And there is really no leeway in this timeline. Without having to shift everything. Believe me, the lists are crazy, because the stations, they might not get me the lists on July 1st. They very likely will not. It's going to take them at least a week. So I'm not going to have the lists until July 7th, July 8th. And it's at that point, I'm going to have 3 weeks to figure out to try to clean these lists to the best capacity possible and make sure that we get 99% accuracy with these emails, right? Because that's one of the strategies we're trying to implement this year, is to cut out that cost, that paper cost. So it's, yeah. So,
okay.
And also during that period of time, there's also opportunity, as you know, as a committee, to work on content too. If we want to make, say, for example, the general election carts, we want to make them more interesting, get more voices on them. There's a whole bunch of production that can go behind that. We can get different people to voice them. You know, we can tweak the messaging to make it more engaging. We can work on the social media outreach. There's so much that has never really been done before with a team. And it's nice that, you know, there is no downtime though, believe me. So, that's why I put that as the main task that I need help with, is literally the outreach to members, with inaccurate or questionable or just confusing records when it comes to, like, for example, station, which station they're supposed to be at. And during that same period of time, the type of carts that are going to be on the air are related to the cleaning of these lists, right? And to the outreach that's happening. So we'll also invite members to, you know, call me up, if we have, you know, other people, on the team that are willing to, you know, get on board, then, you know, we'll create a system where, you know, you keep your, obviously your phone numbers anonymous. We'll mask it, like use a burner number or something. And everybody can have like their own phone number, you know, that people could call back. That's just an idea that I have. I'm not sure yet if that'll work for everybody, but we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do this logistically. Like if, you know, four or five people are going to take, you know, take this task on, we want to make sure, you know, that you're not using your phone number. So
let me just, and I'm finishing. Okay. We need to get to whoever the next person is, but yes, one of the things we will do over time is to discuss with you how the committee can help. And I think it'll be a dialogue. There'll be some things that committee people recommend, and you may say, hey, yes, that'd be helpful, or no, that isn't. But that's going to be an ongoing dialogue, and I appreciate it. And, Mr. Chair, I've had my share.
Okay. So next is Kel. Kel Wolfe.
Yeah. And, Myla, you might want to drop your hand.
If someone who's a co-host would drop it for me, that would be helpful.
I'll do it later. Renee, thank you for streamlining things and helping to make them clearer. And one of my things I observed in a past election was that some people we don't have emails for. And there may be people who've moved their contact information. So I wondered if it might be helpful because to have people have the opportunity, like on the websites of each station. I know you put like donate so you can vote in the election, but also do another one that says that right near at the top say, you know, this we are, you know, transitioning to an electronic election. Please make sure that your email, that we have your correct email address if you are a member. And then also, and or please donate to become a member. But I think that we might be able to get more information by having people go through the station. It's part of the station's work, not part of your work, but go through the station and just here are our current emails. And then we can update our current lists because, when I can say that from my past experience, when you call people, 8 out of 10 of those people, you get a message machine and you might get one call back. So I don't think that is the most efficient way. I'd be curious to know how many people you do not have an email address, because I think I was, you know, I think that is a concern. So that would be one thing I would suggest.
So the cart that is on the air actually right now actually explains that, you know, we're using electronic, you know, we're using e-ballots and to make sure that you have the most recent, you know, email on file with the membership. That was one of the key things to put in the cart, this very first cart. And I understand what you're saying about calling members, but that is our only way. And it's not like, you know, because once the departments give me their lists and I clean the lists, there's no easy way for me just for them to re-export everything and then for me to combine it with my list, because I take everything I get from all the stations and combine everything, dedupe everything, create 10 different lists, corresponding to each station and each election, right, either staff or listener. It's not that simple to then backtrack, re-import. It doesn't make any sense. So that's why once they give me the lists,
yeah,
you know, we're taking it upon ourselves, essentially, or I've taken it upon myself through all this years of doing this, as a responsibility to get the list as accurate as possible, right?
So that's a huge challenge. And I think
it is, but the thing is,
if we could possibly also put it on the website and say, go to your website, you know, on kpfa.org and update your email. So they have a concrete place to do that.
Okay.
Update your email, right next to become a member. I think, and put that in the cart as well. I love that you already had it in the cart. So if you could just put it on the front as well, I think that might help us with the process. The other thing is, for all the people who have phone numbers, especially smartphones, you might be able to just send out a text to them that would say, you know, we don't have your correct email address. So that would, you know, that might be a good way to go. I know that's a little bit of money. So, but.
Right. No, that is also part of the plan to do that. However, direct calls is key. We actually did this, I think we had a couple of people helping out with this. When was it? I think it was the 2019 election, volunteers, who helped. And I think it was specifically, for WBAI because their lists were the worst. And we just had so many. I forget exactly. I'm not remembering exactly.
1,800, I think they were off. But how many are you guessing there are people that don't have emails?
The thing is, honestly, I have no idea at this point. Every year it's been different. Every year it's improved, but every year the percentage has improved, which is great. And every year the numbers have gone down. So, like this last time, I would guess anywhere from 5,000 to 15,000. So,
that's 1,000 apiece for us.
Across the country. Well, that's why we need numbers. That's the thing. It's a combination of phone calls, text messages. So it's a multi-step process, right? So the first would be blanketing with text messages, right? And if we don't get a response from that, or if we get bounced, you know, if it's, you know, a home line where you can't receive a text message, it will get an error. Right. So in those cases, you know, we need to call. So it's a multi-step process. It's not that you're just going to go in the dark and call everybody. We're going to try as much to leave that as a last resort, but still necessary. It's just the more people that do it, the less each person has to do it. And this is really what's necessary. It's not even just for this election. It's what would have to be done if the lists were to be, really robust, right? And then the idea the best idea would be, and if, you know, stations are able to then take this information and integrate it back into their system, then at the end, you know, it's a job that's being done not only for the purpose of the election, but to give more accurate records back to the stations. So, you know, that's actually, it goes beyond the election, right? And it's
Thank you.
Okay.
And I do have another motion about the fair campaign provisions, but I want to wait till after all the questions.
Okay. Vanessa, you're next. Vanessa?
Hey there. Thank you. I have a really super basic question. I just want to confirm, what is the criteria for membership? How much money within what period of time?
Sure. It's $25 from July 1st, 2022 through June 30th, 2023.
Okay.
So them, or through mm-hmm. volunteer work.
Okay, so that's what I thought. So if someone can document that they have made at least that level of contribution, if not more, but they're not showing up as a member, then how do they handle that?
Well, so what's been done was they, you know, you can send it to me, and then what I do is I CC or direct message with the membership departments and, you know, just to confirm. And basically at that point, you know, if the information's correct, because sometimes, you know, the databases are so complex that, you know, you can miss something or something was misentered. And so when somebody searches for something, it doesn't come up, right? It's not as flexible as like the Google search engine is, you know? So that's what I would do. I would just contact me. And I think you have, and I mean, essentially, you know, just confirm, if you have some type of receipt, because then if there's a receipt, the station will be able to find it most likely. And then we just reconfirm it and there should be no issue. There's just that additional.
So I know I've not received a receipt when I've made contributions, but I do have bank records. So I'm trying to figure out what type of documentation would you need
probably
to be able to confirm.
Probably just the date, maybe the time if you have it, the date and time and quantity and your name. And then they can verify that. Probably in their system by date and time, right? They can look, oh, what was deposited, you know, and method, obviously, method of payment.
Okay. So I know that with my bank, they will give me the date. They don't have a time. But there's certainly a date and an amount. So I trust
right.
that would be sufficient.
I mean, whatever information you have.
Okay.
I mean,
okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to have Eric go before I don't know because he hasn't spoken yet. Eric, you go.
I have a simple follow up to Vanessa's question, Renee, and that is there a way that a person who can't quite recall their last donation date, as to whether it is within or before the, July 1st, 2022 date that you mentioned, they can find out.
They have to go directly to their membership department because I mean, if they write to me, I'm just going to write them back and say, contact the membership department. Because I don't have the lists. So yeah, it, and there is actually, on the website, there is a membership eligibility link that has all of the contact information for each station. Both a phone number, if the phone number exists, or an email. So they're both there for people to search, through.
Are we making reference in any of the cards to the 1 year period that Vanessa was asking you about? In
yes.
other words, is that being told to members, or it's
yes.
being simply the June 30th dates being primarily emphasized?
No, it's the time frame is being emphasized.
Excellent. Okay, that's all I really wanted to ask. Thank you so much.
Okay. Elena, you want to go on?
Yeah. I looked at the link that you had me put in the chat, and it shows the candidates, but it doesn't show nominators. So
yeah, nominators are not listed there. Yeah. There's never been a public listing of nominators. There's only a public listing of candidates.
Well, the candidates need to know who the nominators are.
Well, the candidates, you'll be able to see who nominated you, but
no,
you won't be able to see.
Candidates need to be, to know who the nominators are so that we can ask them to nominate.
Well, I think it's the inverse is you ask people to nominate you. right?
Yes, you know, so you need to know who the nominators are.
Well, no, because the people who you're asking to nominate you sign up to become a nominator.
Last time, we were able to see who the nominators were and to ask them.
Point of order. I do think that that is on there because I could see, I'm a nominator. I could see the names of other nominators.
Could you please get that information to me?
No. If you are a nominator, then you can see other nominators. That's all.
But you're a candidate, so it's a different situation. Unless you decide not to be a candidate, then you become a nominator.
Oh, I see.
That's another thing. I'm listed as a candidate, although I have not declared candidacy yet.
Well, you did sign up as a candidate.
I signed up
as a candidate.
As a nominator and as a candidate, and you said,
yes, but you can't be both.
And I told you I would
just. I'll delete your
later.
Profile as a candidate if you want me to.
Point of order, you're speaking over one another, please, one at a time.
Okay, you asked me to choose, and I said that I would choose later, and I had not done so yet. So, I wondered, would you please ask Otis, if he could help find my old short and long statement from 2021? Because I'm sure he would be able to find it.
It's here somewhere, but the thing is, what I'm trying to avoid is if every person wants me to find their statement from and to put that burden on him, you know, if somebody says, oh, I want my statement from 2018. Oh, you gave the statement to Eleanor from 2021. Like it just every candidate needs to be responsible for their own statements. You should have a copy of your own statement.
Point of order.
Could I please receive?
Point of order, Aki.
Sure, go ahead, Carol.
We had this same discussion at the last meeting, and it was stated very clearly that it is not the responsibility of Pacifica to provide people with their old candidate statement.
Might I please ask Otis or you?
So Otis just texted me. He said no past stuff.
Okay. All right.
But you said you could find it. Would you please?
Let me look at the stack right now. Vanessa, is that a legacy hand? Well, you have a new question?
Legacy. I'll put it down.
Okay. And Eric, too?
Yes, legacy. Sorry, Akin.
Okay. All right. So in that case, okay. So Dottie, go ahead. No, I guess Dottie doesn't have. Cal, do you have another question?
Well, I wanted to go into my motion, if that's okay.
I can't hear anymore.
Oh, I'll say it again. I want to go into my motion. I'm going to, send a motion. The election committee, let's see if I can do this. Yeah, the election committee, recommends that the NES add the following language to the Fair Campaign Provisions Rule 6. Rule 6 deals with issues of protecting candidates from slander and libel. And my motion is to add not only candidates, but individually named Pacifica employees, staff, and board members. So it would be, that would be my first part of the motion, and then I have another motion on fair campaign provisions, but maybe we could take them one by one. So there's been, you know, recent defamation of the cost Pacifica $300,000. And, I think that one of the things that happens is it creates, a hostile work environment and, situations that are not going to help the election. So I would ask, because it is against the law, not just to libel or slander candidates, it's against the law to libel or slander employees, staff, and board members. So I wondered Renee, I sent that to you before and I appreciated your email back and wondered if you would be open to talking about that.
Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So if it's already written in law, though, I'm just, you know, is it necessary?
I think it is necessary because it's been a very serious problem. It's just like, you know, the law in the California Corporate Code was written into the other section about, you know, raising money. And again, you know, that is law. So this is law. And I think it's really urgently important. I know that there has been bullying training of staff.
It's just, I guess my only hesitation to adding, can you still hear me? Because I feel like my...
Yeah, no. We can hear you perfectly.
We can hear you.
We can't hear you now. We can't hear you, Renee.
I think Renee is having some connection issues. Yeah, she just dropped off, I believe.
She'll be probably trying to come back on.
Hi, Renee.
Sorry. My Wi-Fi just went down, so I'm on data now. So, okay. My only hesitancy, really, I mean, it's pretty logical, but wouldn't that sort of be something that goes beyond the fair campaign provisions, you know, like that's like,
I don't think so because, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I just think that in a circumstance where, you know, this is done, it's not through an election campaign, remedy. So either disqualification or it's beyond that. And to use the election to remedy, you know, use the election to deal with it. I'm just saying, I, there have been situations in the past where, you know, you have legal, you know, legality. Essentially, there's things that I don't want to be responsible for, you know? Like, and I'm not saying, and I'm just wondering, I'm curious as to why previous iterations of this one never had that. And you know, like why add it now? And I don't know if that has really been an issue. There hasn't really in the previous years, I at least if you can name one situation, I never had to deal with any situation where that was an issue?
I could name a couple of situations. I mean, one thing is that there was a recent defamation lawsuit at that took place at WBAI, and the $300,000, more than $300,000, was taken out of KPFA's bank accounts to pay for a judgment due to defamation at a station. Now, in the context of the elections, there was a number of statements made by people saying there was about issues about staff members and Pacifica employees. And so this is where it's candidates. It isn't if anybody says it. It's if candidate says it. Because if a candidate
think a candidate has a right to have an opinion though on you know, candidates can this is where it's like, are you saying that candidates aren't allowed to ever say anything about any staff? People should be, I mean, it's a principle of free speech, you know, like you should be able to say something and express yourself if you're in disagreement with, you know, with, we're not, that wouldn't be considered, what you're bringing up right now wouldn't be considered as a slanderous or libel, right?
If somebody says, okay, let me give you an example. In a recent election, someone said, oh, this person who's in a post of responsibility never did this or this, which is part of their job description. So that's a fact. I wonder, if Lily would be willing to raise her hand and have an opinion about this also, because I know she works with ethics committees.
May I be recognized for a moment? This is Jack DePalmer, WBAI.
Hey, Jack.
Renee, I think what Carol is asking is not so unreasonable in the climate of what's going on nationally. Mm-hmm. The way in which sometimes people say things that are not only false, but also improper. And I believe that what Carol brought up about the executive director of Pacifica is not a good example. But I can give you many examples about how people in management have been insulted by people in the LSB in New York City. It's very unfortunate that people take it upon themselves to, assuming things that are false, act as if they're, you know, going to save the organization by challenging people that are doing their job. And when the word competence or incompetence comes up, those are the types of insults that I've heard people use. Now, I'm not saying that there's any enforcement here, because that's what I would be commenting about.
Aki, this is Lily. I know
I'll
Carol
be quiet.
Called.
Thank you, Aki.
Lily, on the staff, can I say? Okay, mm-hmm. I think that what we have here, and I think what Carol is trying to say, is obviously it's going to be very hard to enforce it, but it's kind of like telling people that are certain comments they make in elections, there is no absolute freedom of speech. I laugh every time these committees go, I have a right to my freedom of speech. And I always ask those people, I want you to come to Safeway with me. And I'm going to yell, gun, gun, gun. Okay, there is no freedom of speech. What we're trying to do is prevent another lawsuit where somebody says, I'm running against Carol, and say, I don't know why you want to vote for Carol, because she's going through her 10th abortion and her 12th bout with VD. You know, that's the kind of thing we're trying to, you know, prevent. And if Carol's the secretary, we want to avoid saying stuff like, Carol never shows up for the meetings and she doesn't take the minutes. I think what we're trying to do is to prevent something that may make KPFA especially liable to another defamation and slander suit. In our meetings, with our board meetings, it is really one of the main issues where people start talking and getting carried away and start making really defamatory and slanderous statements, not based on any fact, but just based on just their whim. So I think, in my opinion, right, it would not hurt to add it on.
Okay. So do you want to call the question on this?
I would like to make it as a motion, and it has been written into the stack of us recommending. I understand that the decision is up to Renee, but I do want to ask that Renee, that you will take this question seriously. And I know Craig is involved in Fair Campaign Provision assessment, and that you all will talk about it and think about if there is a way, because, it is better to have it in writing as a warning for people so that they are reminded ahead of time, I think.
Okay. I second the motion.
All right.
Who was that? Who was that who seconded?
That was Lily. Lily Kimura.
Okay, great.
Share your point of information, please.
Sure, Vanessa.
Is the motion in the chat? I looked, but I don't see it. Or was it sent to us?
It was sent, and I sent it, Vanessa, and it is in the chat. At 6:30 PM my time.
So, Ida, I mean, I think I don't, as I said, like I don't see any issue really,
with adding. I just want it, and I guess it will be on me and Craig to make sure that, you know, we're not interpreting something that really isn't libel or slander as such, if that makes sense. Like, because, you know, we don't want, you know, to prevent people from expressing themselves and saying what potentially is a truth, the truth, you know, their perspective, at least of it, to then be challenged by someone else's perspective. You know, I just, then it's going to essentially be up to, because the example that you gave for me of, for example, someone saying that a general manager is not doing their job and that being stated by a candidate, I don't see why the candidate can't express that. You know, I don't see that
that's
as
an opinion.
As, you know,
but if they didn't attend meetings or write reports, that is factually provable. You go to the website, you look up, okay, general manager's reports. Okay, minutes, general manager report. It's clear. So I think what I would suggest, Renee, and I see the dilemma, and, you know, of, I think that if you get the definition of libel and slander clear with you and Craig, so you know exactly ahead of time before you're dealing with the things, then if you have that, then it will make your process easier.
Okay. Carol?
Ms. Chair?
Carol?
Yes.
So do you want to make this motion just to say yes, that the committee recommends to the NES? Because we're obviously not saying you have to do it. We're just sort of saying,
right.
We're just recommending this, right?
Yes.
Aki, okay. This is Eric. Could I be recognized when you have a moment?
Sure, go ahead, Eric. Why don't you step
in? I feel we've had a little bit of a one-sided discussion. What I'm concerned about is that the definitional part is, it needs to be very carefully articulated because, there's this concept of an inconvenient truth. And Pacifica has, you know, some inconvenient truths that need to be told, especially during an election. And what I don't want is for people to feel that telling of an inconvenient truth as a candidate would subject them to the false accusation that they've engaged in slander or libel. So some examples have to be given if this is going to fly at all. You know, we all know it, the most egregious types of defamation when we hear it. But, you know, then too, as Renee, you've been alluding, I think, correctly, there needs to be a wide open and robust debate in an election season. And that's what it's for, really. So I would like you, if you entertain these suggestions, to be mindful of the balance that needs to be struck so that candidates don't feel inhibited by the idea that some strong criticisms or telling of what they consider an inconvenient truth, you know, would be taboo in some way. It is not taboo. It's what elections are for in a lot of ways. That's all. Thank you.
And more people speak.
Thank you.
So, Carol, who would you like to take this motion?
I'd like to speak to the motion, please, Mr. Chair.
And so would Violetta.
Okay,
great. What I'd like to say is I agree with Carol that the hostile environment is appalling. And I think that it should be that everybody should be judged negatively on being attack dogs. However, I do not think that Renee or Craig have the expertise to decide what is slander or libel, period. I don't think that they should have to do that. I think telling people to not be nasty is okay, but having them have to discern slander or libel. I don't think that's in their job description.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the motion is well-meaning, and of course we don't want a hostile environment or libel, but I think if it's not enforceable and it's already in the law, us adding it may cause even more problems. It may compound the problem that we're trying to correct if it's not enforceable. So that's the problem that I see with that.
Okay. Kel?
Yeah, well, what I noticed is that it is enforceable, because if a candidate makes an accusation against another candidate, they may get a penalty. And if a candidate makes an accusation against an employee of Pacifica, they could get a penalty. There's no difference in the level of expertise required of deciding what's libel or slander against a candidate versus what's libel or slander against an employee. And as Jack said, you know, a lot of people don't even understand that if they're a board member, they're not supposed to be talking about confidential job performances. That's another issue. You know, and so, if they're doing slander about a person that they're required to publicly to evaluate, that is a particularly, serious situation. So the level of expertise required is the same for candidates as it is for employees, staff, and board members.
We call the question.
All right. So anybody object to this motion?
Yes.
Okay. You want to go to a vote? Susan?
Eric, take your hand down, please.
Okay. Teresa, so if you're voting yes, you were voting in favor of Carol's motion to recommend adding language in Rule 6 that includes management and staff and so forth in terms of libel and slander. Teresa. Right. Teresa? I don't hear. Vanessa?
Sorry, trying to Vanessa? Mute. No.
Okay. Jack?
I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Violetta, I jumped over you. Violetta?
I abstain.
Hello. Alan says yes.
Okay. Elizabeth? Elizabeth?
People need to unmute.
Is there an Elizabeth on this call?
Eleanor, Elizabeth Foreman, Eleanor?
I'm voting no.
Eric?
I'll vote no.
Let's say Lily?
Yes.
Okay, Sean's not here. Myla?
Yes.
Sorry. Sean Rhodes?
No.
Minerva, is she here? I think so. Aki?
Yes.
Yes. Carol?
Yes.
Okay, and Susan, I'm going to change to abstain. So there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 yeses. 1, 2, 3, four no's and one, two, three abstentions, I think. So okay. There are more yes than no.
It's a recommendation, so, okay. Thank you. Next on the item, Carol.
Yeah, there was another recommendation. The election committee, where is it? The election committee recommends that the NAS standardize and use a shortened version of the disclaimer and provide formatting directions to all candidates. Renee, I really liked what you did in the last election with the postcards of shortening the Fair Campaign Provisions statement that went on the postcards and the emails. I think that one, it was less confusing, and I wondered if you could use that one instead in this election and have it be standard and the same and a little shorter and clearer.
It's possible.
You're kind of breaking up, Renee.
Radio. I'm breaking up.
Yeah, you're good now.
I can try to edit it down a little bit more. But I don't want to, you know, cut it down too much. But there are some words here that I could get rid of. We don't need to have radio every single time.
Yeah, I think the one from the last last election in the postcard was just like, you could just use that one. I can send it to you.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with changing that as long as it says the same thing. I mean, it says the same thing, right? It's not changing anything. It's just.
It leaves out the part that says, do not assume that nothing here is true.
Should not be assumed to be true.
Do not. Yeah.
I mean, that's only one small piece. I see a lot of other things that can be cut. There's radio repeated like 20 times. Yeah. Doesn't need to be repeated 20 times.
I'll get the one from the last one, and it was really, really good.
Okay. So Renee, you can just, maybe work with, travel and
we'll look at it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
So is that satisfy you, Cal?
Oh, very much.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Any other items on the agenda right
Aki?
Now? Yes.
Aki, this is Teresa. Can you hear me?
Sure, Teresa.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yes. Renee, I have a question. I received a notice today about something. It was something for Friday night. And something Pacifica Listeners Forum. And it was an event, and they were going to have, I think they said you were going to be on there, and maybe Stephanie was going to be on there. Is that true? Is there something Friday night that we're telling the listeners is a forum for people to participate in?
It was last week.
There's another one that's coming Friday.
So you know, we have, I'm not sure if you were aware yet, but we've set up a system where you can submit events, community members can submit events, invite candidates, invite staff, the election staff, and as long as, you know, ground rules are followed, it's open to everyone, then we'll add it to the weekly email blast that goes out on Tuesdays. There's actually a calendar for that. There's a submission page, and there were two different events listed at the bottom. Those were the two that were submitted by the deadline, which was Monday, for being sent out yesterday. Yeah, those are two community events. I think it's pretty clear that they're not, you know, they're organized by listener members. It's not.
I would like to protest or complain. When we use our resources to tell everybody on our email lists that some group that we really have no control over is having an event, that can be very problematic. We're giving them some sort of credibility, and it's like we're publishing it on our airwaves if we're using our email lists.
Well, so
I think that's very problem. That's very problematic.
Members, you know, are given access to the list to send out their own e-campaigns. And now, you know, this year we've decided to have a different structure. So it's a structure where, you know, members can gain access to send out their own e-campaigns completely independent with their formatting and everything.
But if you and Stephanie want to hold a debate or a panel discussion, then it would be Pacifica Election Supervisor and the ED invite people and send out the email list to send it out to all the email lists, and people can attend that and they can ask questions. But when you say, okay, Pacifica is advertising this thing, I mean, I could start an organization and I could, under the pretense of Pacifica Business, I could decide to have a meeting every week. And then you're telling all of these people, here's a credible organization, and you're actually helping them build their organization.
Point of information.
It becomes their event rather than a Pacifica event that you're telling everybody about.
Point of information. My question is, and it's to Teresa, Renee, and Stephanie, is this an issue that is election specific, or is it generally what Pacifica will send out in its newsletters about things that members are doing?
So this is specifically for events related to the election and events that are being organized by listener members that have to follow certain ground rules. And those ground rules, you can see what they are. You know, they need to be, you know, open to everyone. There needs to be a moderator. There's certain criteria that need to be followed for it to be able to qualify to go out. It's not just
right,
every.
So if I want to promote a slate of people, then what I should do is, using your rules, I should plan an event every day of the week.
But the slate, you can't promote one slate of people. It's open to everybody.
No, but it's
okay if it's organized by a slate, as long as that slate is acting neutrally, right, in terms of inviting everybody and it being open to everybody. And it has been done in the past. It's been done when we had a lot of more in-person events. We would, you know, different quote unquote slates, factions would host these events, and they were, you know, in-person forums, in-person debates, that were additional to what the official. Right. This is, you know, this was just a way for us to allow for more communication about the efforts that different members are making, and to just provide some more support.
I don't mind Pacifica planning their own debates and their own Q&As, but when I see this organization is having this, then they have an agenda. They have candidates that they support. They have issues that they want to promote. I don't understand why we would want to give our airwaves or our email list to these people.
Members, irrespective, they would get access anyway, right, to these
they
lists.
Would get it, they would get it when they just mentioned them. Like, send out an email, and they would pay for that, right? Just like we would page.
Yeah, and they would also have, they would also have a lot more content distributed, right? In terms of, you know, when you're paying, they're paying for it. The thing is, these e-campaigns that are going out, they're, you know, primary intention is to be very specifically focused on the election. And then, you know, this is a new, it's to have a listing of community events related to the election that's just an additional.
Anybody can generate under the pretense of the election some sort of event, and then Pacifica will cover it.
I mean, if you're saying that people are going to act dishonestly, you know, the thing is, I, you know, how am I going to prevent people from acting dishonestly? I don't know. But, you know, people have to sign ground rules. And, you know, if it appears like it's just a front for some ulterior motive, then their events will not be promoted anymore.
Renee, I'm just saying, if the elections, office wants to organize debates, fine. Then it is we, the Pacifica office, are organizing debates. But what you're doing is you're giving these separate organizations opportunities to promote their agendas and their slates. And I don't have any problem with them sending out their e-postcards saying vote for these candidates, but to encourage their events is
I think there's a lot of generalization being made about, you know, member groups that while, you know, they state that they are either, you know, affiliated with a slate, or maybe they state that they're completely independent, it's still possible to hold an event that's open for everyone and that does not push an agenda and that does not push certain candidates. And that is required for these events to be on this mailer. Like it cannot be an event that's promoting an agenda and a slate. It just cannot be. And I don't know if you noticed, but there are two events there, and one is clearly a slate and the other one states they're independent. So, you know, my goal, and I think also the goal of these elections in general, is to get the community involved. This is I think something that is significant. It doesn't cost money for us to give a little more attention to people's efforts when they're organizing events related to the election that are open events. Without bias, I mean, obviously we always have biases, but that is the goal of any event. I think that's on here is they have to follow, you know, certain ground rules. And
but if you're letting these organizations use our entire email list, if you want to control bias, then we ought to control the event. Pacifica ought to control the event.
Okay. Mr. Chairpoint, everybody's talking to each other. I think that you're out of type
for this item, but, there's a stack of one right now. Does anybody else want to speak on this?
Aki, I'd like to be on the stack.
And Carol has her hand raised.
And I only have 5 more minutes. I'm sorry.
Right. Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Get a lot of time on this. Jack
hasn't spoken as often as Carol has.
Okay.
How about Jack?
Carol's been waiting for some time.
Who is on the stack? I don't see any hands here.
Jack.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hesitate to be the voice of reason, but the reason why Pacifica Listen to Forum was in Legion to do this is because they have an email list that has many Pacifica listeners. They moderate their presentation, and they try to let everybody show up and do what's possible. which is talk and the other ideas and be heard by others. Unfortunately, once again, the idea that we live in a very polarized world, unfortunately, Pacific is also very polarized, is one of the consequences of being in 2023 in a very polarized world. So I believe that you can't blame the executive director and the national election supervisor for going to the Pacific Forum, because they have available contact and they know how to run a meeting. And sometimes we have that problem that we fall into like bias and factionalism, and you know, it's dangerous, but unfortunately it's something that we can't seem to avoid. I'm just going to say that with little time left, I give them a lot of credit. I heard that whole thing. I didn't even join it because I could have, but I decided to sit and listen, because sometimes I get a lot more when I listen than when I talk and try to make points about what's fair and what's unfair. It's a very difficult thing to kind of educate. So I'll just be quiet. Thank you very much, Jackie.
Okay. Well, since Renee has only 1-2 minutes left, I see one hand up. Kel, why don't you go in, and then that'll be the last.
Thank you. I just have a couple of concerns. I would hope that, because whenever Pacifica Resources, and that includes the newsletter announcement, is used, then it becomes a Pacifica event. And so there's a responsibility of Pacifica to monitor what all the candidates are saying, to make sure that, you know, they're following the directions and that those events are moderated. So I'm, while I appreciate the wanting to get out in the world, I am imagining that this is going to involve quite a bit of monitoring and time. And I'm wondering if that's really where we want to put our energies. The other thing I'm concerned about is saturation, so that if people don't just decide they're going to unsubscribe from all Pacifica emails because they're getting saturated. So I think we have to be careful in those ways. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Renee, thank you so much for, spending all this time with us.
I've got my hand up just to ask her if she has anything more she wants to tell us or needs from us.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that too. One other thing, Renee, is that we heard that Wednesday might not be a very good day for you. So could you also tell us what day, you know, you on the weekdays, usually good for you? So yeah, she can summarize that and then tell us about, you know, the meeting date.
Sure. I would prefer, if we're going to make this meeting, it would be great to have this back to back with the, you know, the open forum, so we can discuss what's brought up immediately, in terms of becoming this working group, right? But again, all I really need at this point in time is the lists, and then we'll have work to do. That's really my concern. And obviously, you know, at this point in time, just getting enough candidates to run. So, you know, if people on this call can, you know, share with their circles, you know, through whatever, you know, outside of just using the airwaves and the Pacifica email list, if you have your own email list, I mean, invite people to get involved. I think, you know, that will be help, unless of course you've already done that. Just general outreach to members, I think, through a variety of means, I think that would be helpful. And what you said, Susan, in terms of scouring the web page for mistakes, because yeah, obviously I didn't catch everything. I had to do it really quickly, so I did my best. So Yeah, that's it for me.
Okay, Renee.
In terms of, so that would be my preference for the schedule. And then it's also on a Saturday, and, you know, Saturdays in general, people are not working. So, yeah.
All right.
May I be recognized?
So it's very good. Thank you very much. Okay, one more person. Okay, Myra, why don't you have
are you ruling out your availability to meet with this committee on its regularly scheduled Wednesday meetings?
I can't do Wednesdays. Yeah, it doesn't work for me. And anyway, this is a bit separate from the election committee as a whole. It doesn't mean you can't all still meet. We can then work together on the tasks that we have to do and figure out troubleshooting together. But it doesn't mean that you can't continue the meeting. I don't need to be there always.
Right. Okay, so let me follow up and say, Wednesdays don't work. Can you give us some dates that might work? And
I already gave you the date that I prefer, which is Saturdays.
Is there any other day besides Saturdays?
Right now, I really want to keep the work week just for the work that I have to do. I don't want to commit. Maybe once in a while, if people want me to jump on, they can invite me, but I'm not going to make any blanket commitment because I don't want to disappoint anybody. My life is about to get chaotic, in terms of what's going to fall, soon. So, you know, I don't want to make that type of commitment right now.
But
weekends, no problem. Weekends, you know, weekends, as I said, like the Saturday afternoon, after the call with the general public, it should be the best, and it's wide open, should be wide open for people.
Okay. I mean, if you need something, we can always negotiate with you on it. So, yeah.
Yeah, and just write to me. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And Craig, we should set up our own meeting so we can discuss how we're going to manage everything.
Okay.
Great.
All right. Any other items, people, members? Thank you very much, Renee.
Thank you.
Wait, yes. We do have another item.
Okay. What's that, Elena?
We had the motion, about, whether this election was going to be 2 years or 3 years.
Right. So, I mean, that's the thing that the working group is working on right now.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that we can't weigh in as well.
Right, of course.
We can discuss it and say what we think.
Well, Eleanor, do you want to form a group and, you know, have a sort of like a brainstorming session?
Well, I had, it wasn't my motion, but someone made a motion already that it should be a 3-year term. We should reset that. Last year there was no election. There should have been one, but there was none. So this year and next year there should be elections, and the year after is the year off. And each of these elections should be for 3 years as the bylaws state. You already have that motion. And right. we can discuss it and vote on it right now.
No, well, I don't think it's a question of voting on it. It's just, you know, it still needs to be worked out. All the ins and outs of the terms has to be worked out. I mean,
it's stated in the motion if you just read it.
I move to postpone that item until the next, full Elections Committee meeting.
I move to amend that motion that we wait till we hear back from the working group their recommendations and their rationale, because and then we address it.
But it's urgent because people...
I second it.
People who are signing up as candidates need to know what the commitment is, 2 years or three. That's taking place right now, and June 30th is the deadline for that. So well, they need to know now.
You know, at the Saturday's question and answer period that Renee attended, she basically announced that it's a three-year term. Also from the, as you notice from working through the the term schedule, the three-year term does work. So the only question that the working group has to deal with is not that the current election will have three-year term, but what to do with the, all of the subsequent terms, the people who have termed out, three-year term out, six-year term out, all those little minute details has to be worked out. First, the this election, all of the candidates are going to be running for a three-year term.
Then why don't we vote?
I don't know what way voting on it would change anything.
Then we, the elections committee, would be making our recommendation.
Okay.
Point of order.
Go ahead, Carol. Go ahead. What is it?
Point of order. We are over time at this meeting, and I move to adjourn.
Well, I object. I'm sorry. Please, I just have a question I've been waiting to ask.
Okay, Maya, why don't you ask your question?
Yeah. Be brief.
Thanks, Susan. I'll do my best. I apologize to the committee, but it's very difficult to keep up. Who are the members of the working group, and what is the work of the working group? I am absolutely.
There is no working group.
Well, why do we keep referring to a working group?
Sorry. The working group was named by the Pacifica National Board to look at the impact of postponed elections on Turks. There's one director from each station named, and that's what they're doing. Aki's on it.
Thank you so much.
Got it.
Move to adjourn.
Objection.
Second, move to adjourn.
Okay. So what is the procedure when you have a motion to adjourn and a second then?
We vote.
Objection.
Okay. Okay. So we'll vote on the, adjournment then. So Susan, go ahead.
Okay. Teresa.
Alan says no.
Says don't adjourn. Okay, Violetta.
Yes, adjourn.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Abstain.
Abstain. Okay, Jack DePalma.
Yes.
Eleanor.
No.
Eric.
Pass.
Okay. Lily.
Yes, adjourn.
Yes, okay. Sean Kelly McPherson not here. Myla.
Yes.
Pass. Okay. Let's see. Sean Rhodes.
Yes, adjourn.
Okay. Minerva. She's not here. Aki.
Yes.
Carol.
Yes.
Susan. Yes. Okay. We've got, I think, two passes. One is Eleanor.
No, no. I voted no.
Eric Jacobson. Okay.
Eric. Sorry. It was Eric.
I'll vote no.
Eric?
I'll vote no.
Okay.
Okay. And then the other pass was Myla.
I'll vote yes.
Okay. So it is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 yeses. Three noes and 2 abstentions.
One abstention. Okay, people, thank you very much. Myra, would you let Aldous know that we concluded the meeting?
Yes, and let me just tell everybody, I just saved the chat. And if you'd like, I can email it to everyone. And please use my Myla Reason KPFK email address, not the other one that you may have been seeing. And look for something from that. And next week, we're going to go revert to the other Zoom account. I mean, the other Zoom information. And I apologize for the potential clusterfuck that we didn't encounter.
Is that a technical term? Is that an election term? A clusterfuck?
That's a general term for Pacifica. All right, next meeting is July 5th. Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.